All right, and welcome to another exciting episode of Sports Beers from an Agent's Perspective. You're with your host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And today, yeah, man, episode number 141. We're getting closer to that 150 mark, man. And like I said, on this platform, we celebrate every single milestone, no matter how big or small, you know. So, yeah, man, just looking forward to getting to 150. You know, it's been no easy feat, I'll tell you that, you know. Maintaining the discipline to keep going and to, you know, keep coming up with creative, you know, concepts and creative ways to keep going with the podcast. I guess I wouldn't say it's been the most challenging, but it's also been the most exciting as well, man. That just deciding that, okay, this episode, this is what I'm going to talk about. This episode, this is what I'm going to talk about. This episode, this is who I want to interview. This episode, this is who I want to interview. So all of that has been an amazing trip, an amazing ride. Now, I know I haven't had as many guests this year, and that's actually been on purpose, not to lie. It's been a busy couple of months. I think after May or June, I'll get back on the horse of, you know, just approaching people to, you know, to come on the podcast and just to have sporting discussions, you know. So don't worry, I haven't stopped with the interviews. It's just that these, the first half of 2024, I knew was going to be a very busy time, you know, for the sports agency and also the tech platform, Athlete Network, as we're, you know, we're also building that, you know. If you guys are tuning in for the first time on the podcast, so what Athlete Network is about is it's a sports social network, basically. You know, we built a sports social network to connect players, coaches with teams. You know, in creating this platform, we actually created it for the amateur market. You know, for the amateur, you know, amateur players, amateur coaches, to connect with amateur teams. Because what we realized is, as per the FIFA, you know, football regulations, especially within the soccer space, it was declared that as from October 2023, which was last year, you know, sports agents cannot earn any commission from amateur deals. So which means that if you're a sports agent and you broke an amateur deal and you help connect an athlete to a club, whether it's domestically or, you know, overseas, you're not allowed to earn any commission from it. So what did this mean? This meant that, and rightly so, which agent would want to do that kind of work for free? You know, sports agents aren't in the business of doing pro bono work. You know, so that's where we came up with the concept of that, you know what, in order to cut away the middleman, let's create a platform where amateur players and amateur coaches can actually connect with teams, and it doesn't need any intermediation from a sports agent. You know, we don't take any commission. We just created a platform, a social network where the three parties can meet and where they can negotiate, you know, those type of deals without a middleman, so to speak. You know, so for any, you know, aspiring, whether you're an amateur soccer player who's looking for an opportunity either domestically or overseas, we implore you, sign up on the platform. If you're a team looking for players, if you're an amateur team, amateur soccer team, sign up on the platform as well. And the most exciting news is that this doesn't only stop in professional soccer as well. We welcome all sporting codes, especially team sporting codes such as, you know, soccer, amateur soccer players, coaches and teams, amateur rugby players, coaches and teams, as well as we're also going to be venturing into other sports such as basketball and all other team sports, basically, at an amateur level, whereby teams are looking to recruit players and players are also looking to connect with teams. All right, the platform is there to be used. Make use of it. All right, so that's pretty much what we've been working on, you know, off the scenes and everything, you know, with the agency and partnering with brands. So it's been a busy, you know, first half of the year for sure. But yeah, after May, June, I do still want to have conversations, have sporting conversations, learn about either athletes or coaches or team executives or even fellow agents, you know, journeys and stuff like that. So yeah, we will be getting back on that on the second half of the year. But yeah, but 2024, it's been a year of, you know, challenges and growth. Definitely not a bad year. It's been a good year so far. You know, we're always grateful for any opportunity that comes about. And yeah, man, I hope all you guys are doing well, you know, as well. But yeah, so that's pretty much what the first half of the year has been like. But then again, just getting back to my point that, yeah, excited as hell about the fact that we're about to get to 150, because from 150, guess what? We're going to look forward to getting to, you know, 200 episodes and to just keep going. You know, there is no end destination for this. So long as, you know, I'm enjoying, we're enjoying creating the sporting content, we're going to bring it. That's one thing I can promise you. We're going to bring it. Regardless of what's going on, what we're going through in our lives, we're always going to bring it. Because this, I see it as like a gift to be able to just share my sporting thoughts. And to just be around in a time like this whereby, you know, podcasting is pretty much at an all-time high. You know, regardless of whether, you know, I've done dope episodes of podcasting, I won't lie to you, I still consider myself a student of podcasting. Like, I listen to so many podcasts during the week. And shout out to all the other content creators, man. Like, I really enjoy listening to Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp's podcast. I enjoy listening to Nightcap with him and Ocho Cinco. In fact, in all honesty, I prefer listening to Nightcap than Club Shay Shay, because I really enjoy the conversations that Shannon Sharp and, you know, Chad Ocho Cinco have. I mean, these are two former professional American football players. And all they do, man, is just, you know, they pretty much trade war stories, you know. And I think that's a really, really, really great concept, because at the end of the day, sports journalists may be qualified to the T. They might have degrees, master's degrees and so forth, but nothing beats being out there and having that experience. Nothing beats that, because the stories that those guys tell, those are very authentic stories. They haven't been watered down. Those are real authentic stories that those guys talk about. And, you know, when they trade those war stories, that's what it's all about. So that's why I actually love Nightcap, is because it actually reminds me of, especially when I have like rugby players on the podcast that when I interview, it literally is almost like trading war stories, because I can relate to everything that they're talking about, you know. So yeah, and I listen to other podcasts as well. Obviously, Podcast and Chill with Mac G. Shout out to them, and they're doing a phenomenal job. Which other one? I listen to Popcorn and Cheese. They always have the comics on there. Which other American podcasts am I listening to? I recently listened to The Underground Lounge by, you know, Lou Williams, former NBA superstar Lou Williams. Yeah, so just those podcasts to name a few. But I mean, I dabble into others as well. I try to, you know, diversify into the genres I listen to, but I mostly follow like sporting podcasts. I try not to get into the whole gossip, you know, type of shit, you know. But I mean, I do listen to Vlad's interviews. I also think his interviews are dope as well. But yeah, I try to not get into too much of the podcasts where they're talking about gossip and all that stuff and just putting people down. I don't do that. I prefer the sporting ones because I can relate to those much more. Anyway, all right, so yeah, so do not go anywhere. On today's episode, yeah, we're definitely talking football. We're going to talk Japan Rugby League One's game of the week for this week. And yeah, and many more, man. Just stick around and I promise you it's going to be a dope episode. All right, see you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. Right. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right. That's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. Bekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back. And before we get into today's episode, a further shout out to our other sponsors. You know, shout out to Nike Australia, Nike Corporation, and shout out to Nike, man, for also sponsoring our blog post as well. If you guys didn't know, through our Athlete Network sports social network platform, we also release a weekly blog, you know, just talking about just the business aspect of professional sports. You know, we talk mostly football content, but we bring in other sporting codes as well. So that's just the sporting content we bring. So shout out to Nike, man. They sponsored our post for this week. Make sure to check it out, because on our blog post, we actually talked about, you know, football's wealthiest teams, you know, the top 10 wealthiest football teams in the world, you know, from, you know, the marketing and the branding that they do in order to grow the brand, as well as the signing of marquee players, you know, how important it is for teams to sign marquee players in order for them to actually get, you know, asses on seats, sell tickets, and bump up their revenue, pretty much, you know. So make sure you check that out. It's on our website, www.athletenetwork.net. All right, so make sure you check the blog out. And once again, shout out to Nike for being our sponsor for the post this week. All right, and our other sponsor that we want to shout out as well is 365 Games. You know, cheers to them for amazing, you know, gaming content and just, you know, gaming information that they provide. So in Japan, where I like to hang out, like in my free time, I love going to Akihabara, which is pretty much like Game Central. You know, the video gaming, whether it's consoles, whether it's, the latest video games and everything. You know, when I'm in Tokyo, Akihabara is a place to go. But obviously, that is like face-to-face type of thing. But when I want to search for things online, I usually check them out on 365 Games. All right. So if you guys are interested in checking out the latest, you know, video game and gaming community and gaming information, make sure to check 365 Games. I'll make sure to drop the link of, you know, their link as well as Nike's on the description of the podcast. And then lastly, obviously, MyProtein. Thank you to them. As we continue with our commitment, you know, to, you know, to just being fit and continuing our fitness journey, even post playing sports. You know, I haven't played sports in like 5 years. We are in 2024 now, right? I retired at the end of 2019. Yeah. So I haven't played sports in over 5 years, but, you know, to keep myself fit, using my protein supplements has definitely been at the forefront of it all, man. You know, because, yeah, when you stop playing sports, sometimes you lose the motivation to keep going because you're like, what am I training for? You know, because in all the years where I was playing rugby and stuff, my main motivation was like, yeah, I need to be in shape for rugby season. I need to stay in shape during the off season as well. But when you stop playing and that motivation isn't there anymore, I had to, you know, find a way to keep going. And, you know, just using supplements for my protein has, you know, it's kept me on the right path, you know, it's kept me on the right path. And yeah, we love using their products. So for them as well, to check out their stuff, their online store, I'll make sure to drop their link on the description of the podcast as well. All right. So in heading into today's episode, you know, while I was basically thinking up or creating this episode, it actually got me thinking. And I don't know, I had like a flashback, you know, to my playing days. And I wanted to ask you guys as well. And obviously, by answering this, you can comment on the Spotify. If you listen to our podcast via Spotify, you can comment on there. Or if you listen to Spotify for podcasters, you know, on our podcast, you can comment on Spotify for podcasters as well. I want to know your guys' opinion, or just to get you guys thinking, if you know, if you've got a history of playing sports as well, if you're a rugby player or whichever sporting code you play, what was your, how can I say, get up and go type of song? Meaning, what song did you listen to? What was your pre-match playlist? Yeah, that's actually what I want to ask you guys, is what was your pre-match playlist? Like for me, in all of my playing days, like the songs I had on rotation, you know, definitely I'll count them down from like top five. All right, we'll go top five because I don't want to spend too much time on this, you know, because I still need to get through the sporting content that we need to do. But this is just something I thought about. So for me, I think the fifth song that I used to play a lot, I definitely would say The Games, Hate It or Love It. I used to love that song, man. You know, I first heard it in 2005. And the reason why I'm so attached to it is actually because in 05, that was the first year I got a taste of like junior provincial rugby. You know, that was the year I got selected to play for the Blue Bulls under 18 Academy Week side. And we traveled down to Upington, dude, in a bus. You know, we didn't even fly. We took a bus over there. And I think that was like a 14-hour or 15-hour bus trip somewhere there. So all we had was just the... And this, and you got to remember, this was before the time of iPads. You know, this was a time where laptops were still shit expensive. You know, so none of us had any computers and stuff like that. All we had was just... This was a time of Walkmans. Well, iPods were also in at the time. So this was a time of iPods. And other people still had Walkmans at the time or MP3 players, you know, but mostly MP3 players and iPods. This was the time for that. And all we had, the only entertainment we had was just listening to music, because even the cell phones that we had, this again, this was before smartphones. This was before the iPhone was even launched, you know, because the iPhone came in 2007. This was 2005, 2 years before the iPhone was launched. So all we had was just the flip phones, you know. I remember at that time, I had the Motorola. Yeah, I had the Motorola flip phone, you know. And I mean, the only thing you could get on those phones was just like, You could watch videos, but the megapixel and everything was just like, it was so tiny. You know, you could share videos again amongst one another, but you couldn't watch like a movie or whatever. And the screen was too small in any case. So yeah, that's pretty much all we had, man. It was just listening to music. And I remember the person I was sitting next to on the bus, one of my teammates, he had the game's latest album, the documentary. So we were just listening to Hate It. We listened to the whole album, literally, on the way to Upington. So that album sort of stayed with me. And that song, Hate It or Love It, it sort of stayed with me. So, you know, even heading into playing rugby after high school and stuff like that, I always had Hate It or Love It on rotation as one of my, you know, pre-match playlist. And then at number four, I would put T.I.'s, what was that song? I think Still I Stand. Yeah, Still I Stand. And that song actually reminds me of 2009. Yeah, that reminds me of 09, because, and this was back in the academy days now when I just left Potchefstroom and gone back to Pretoria. So I was part of the Tucks Bulls Rugby Academy. And and during those times, I mean, I didn't have a ride, you know. So what would happen is my sister, because she was working at Standard Bank at the time, I think in Centurion, she would drop me off at the Tux High Performance Center. And then my good friend, man, and shout out to Mitch, my good friend Mitchell Smith. I actually had him on the podcast a few episodes ago where, you know, we talked about his rugby career. Because he played most of his rugby in the UK, but he came up in the academy with us. But he only spent 1 year in the academy, and then he left and went to the UK. But anyway, so Mitch would most of the time, if he could, you know, because sometimes he'd have to drive off and go somewhere else. But most times, I promise you, he would offer to give me a lift home, and we would play T.I.'s album, Paper Trail. And I remember we used to like playing, Still I Stand, Ready for Whatever. Like, that album is also a certified classic in my eyes. So yeah, so Mitch and I would listen to that. And then my other friend, Temba, he also had the same album, and he would play it in his car as well. And with him, we would listen to Dead and Gone. We used to like listening to Dead and Gone. So Temba would also, because he was a track runner at Tux, sometimes I would hitch a ride with him. You know, this was back in 2009, man. Ish, you know, we're still hustling to get a ride, boss. Still hustling to get a ride. But yeah, it was awesome, man. And I'll always appreciate those guys for, you know, just for help, you know, for helping me out in that way. And like I'm saying, and these were two very good friends of mine, and, you know, we just shared our love for music. And by just listening to those tracks. But those tracks always helped prepare me mentally, whether if I was going to training or if it was game day, you know. But anyways, yeah, so two songs from T.I.'s Paper Trail. So number four, I had Still I Stand. And then at number three, Ready for Whatever. And then at who would I put at number two? I definitely put Lil Wayne's I'm Me. I used to love that song as well, man. I'm Me was definitely at number two. I think that was from his The Carter 3 album. Yeah, that was from his The Carter 3. It was just fire, man. Like, it, what I loved about that song was obviously the beats and everything, and how it would just like peak at the right time, you know, like the intensity of the song would increase at the time where Wayne is really going hard on the song and like rapping, and then it slows down. It goes dun 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 dun, junior, junior, and then he keeps rapping as well, you know. So that was dope. That was dope. Like, that song really used to get me in the zone as well. And then number one, unanimous decision. Like, there's no question. 50 Cent's Patiently Waiting. Or, in fact, let me just say 50 Cent's whole album. But Patiently Waiting was my favorite track as well. to listen to before the game. Yeah, that song used to get me like amped up as well. Especially like Eminem's line. Because I mean, when 50 starts off the song, like he's very chilled in it, you know. I'm wishing in my dead like a baby bone dead, you know. He's very chilled in it, but man, when Eminem comes on, that used to get me amped up. And I don't know if I can still remember some of the lyrics. What was it? What were they? But it was when he was coming towards the end of his verse. I think it was Shady Records was 80 seconds away from the tower. Some cowards fucked with the wrong build. They meant to hit ours. Better evacuate all children. There's nuclear showers. There's nothing spookier. You now about to witness the power of fucking 50. Yeah. That was heat. But yeah, I really enjoyed that, man. It was, those are the kind of songs that sort of like got me in the zone, you know, because the one thing about, you know, playing sports and everything is the higher you go in terms of levels, the more you realize you can't just turn up and say, okay, I'm going to play a game. I'm going to play a match. No, you had to literally prep yourself mentally for what you were about to do, you know? Yeah, man, it was just, honestly, that whole Sun Tzu speech, that the art of war is you literally got to win the mental battle first. You win the mental battle, you're halfway there. You know, if you turn up to something and you don't show up mentally, you're fucked, you know? So, yeah, man. So one had to really adopt that whole Sun Tzu mentality, that it all begins in your mind. You know, it all begins in the mind. Like, the mental aspect of sports, man, is so underrated and so underappreciated, you know. But then again, you learn, you know, the higher you go and the more professional you get. Because for me, when I arrived, the first exposure I had to, you know, mental coaching was actually when I was still in high school, when I was part of the Blue Bulls Elite Squad and the Gauteng Academy of Sports, where before we went to like Academy Week and Craven Week, they called in like a sports psychologist, and he spoke to us about dealing with your emotions and, you know, preparing yourself mentally for the game and how to stay composed when the game's not going your way, you know, basically how to not lose your shit while the game's going on. And that was my first introduction to like mental coaching. And then when I was in Poch, we also had a sports psychologist work with us in my first year. Shout out to H. Heinrich. And then in my under 20/under 21 year, we worked with one of the best sports psychologists, man, Uwe Percy. You know, that guy would get fired up, man, talking just about getting in that zone of, you know, peak performance, you know, getting in that zone in your mind to enable you to perform at your peak performance. So that's pretty much why I'm talking about these songs, because they were very instrumental in helping me prepare myself mentally for what I was going to do on the field. So yeah, I just thought I'd share that little segment. It was just something that just hit me while I was thinking of, okay, what am I going to talk about in the podcast this week? And yeah, that was it. That was it. But anyway, like I said, you guys can let me know on the comments on the Spotify platform or on the Spotify for Podcasters platform of our podcast, that, yeah, what song helped you prepare yourself mentally for whatever sporting code that you were playing. All right, let us know. Anyway, all right, so to move on to the next segment. So today we're talking football first. We're going to catch up on a little bit of J-League action. It's been heavy rains in Japan this week, so most of the games that we, you know, I was able to, you know, get to and watch, they weren't really all that exciting, because again, like it's been raining heavy. In fact, there was a tsunami warning. I think it was about either yesterday or 2 days ago. There was a tsunami warning. So yeah, it's the weather's been pretty crappy. But I mean, the show must go on and the game must go on. So the first game that I was able to witness was Yokohama F. Marinos versus Kawasaki Frontale. You know, early season derby between the two teams. In all honesty, a very, very underwhelming game. it was pretty boring. It was pretty boring. And I feel shitty about saying this because these are two teams that really represent the brand of, you know, Japanese football very well. Very two very well coached teams, two very well drilled teams, and two teams that really play soccer at the highest level here in Japan. But yeah, that derby, it really wasn't all that exciting. And I mean, they played in the rain. Both teams had opportunities to go at each other, but, you know, nothing really came of it for both of them. A few close ones, especially from Yokohama F. Marinos. Like, I think they must have had about three potential would-be goals that either hit the pole or, you know, just was slightly off target, or the keeper just got a finger to it to make it a corner kick, but they just couldn't convert it into points. And Frontale also had a few opportunities as well, but they just didn't convert them into points. So the game ended in a 0-0 draw, you know. But I mean, still, as much as, you know, the conditions weren't allowing for, you know, flair football to be played, I still think the players, you know, they put out their best foot. It's not like the players were looking shocking. No, the guys were really doing the best with, you know, in the situation and the conditions that they were in, but it just wasn't coming together for both teams. So yeah, unlucky to both teams. But I mean, they both share the points, 1-1 points that they're gonna get from the game. But yeah, nil all draw, no goals in such a highly anticipated derby in Kanagawa. All right, and then the second game that we witnessed was another team from Kanagawa, Shonan Bellmare. They went up against Tokyo Verdy. And Tokyo Verdy are the newcomers from the J2, and they were actually able to upset the home team because they played in Hiratsuka, also under heavy rain and conditions, but it didn't stop both teams from still firing away, you know. Shonan Bellmare was fortunate enough to score first. Like, they just put on a very, very clinical an accurate through pass for their striker to collect the ball and score a brilliant goal. And they were looking good. They were really looking good for the duration of the match, for the whole duration of the match, until Tokyo Verdy decided that, you know what, we're not going to just play in this J1 competition. We're going to show these guys that we came to compete. And they were able to score two goals, you know. They ended up winning that game 2-1. They scored their second goal literally in the last minute of the game. It looked as though it was going to end in a, you know, in a 1-1 draw. But, you know, they were able to, yeah, pull a trick out of the bag somehow. And edge Shonan Bellmare by 2-1. So congratulations to Tokyo Verdy. They are really looking good. You know, they're not just looking like a team that got promoted from J2 and now everybody is hammering them every weekend. No, they're actually getting some pretty decent victories under their belt, you know. And then the last game that we witnessed was Kashiwa Reysol. They went up against Cerezo Osaka. And again, this was also another game that was played under rainy conditions. They were playing in Chiba. If there's tsunami warnings, one of the places that would get heavily affected is Chiba, because Chiba is very flat. There are no mountains in Chiba. So if there's any chance of a tsunami hitting the shores of Japan, it would definitely hit Chiba the worst. But luckily, nothing's been reported. So yeah, everybody's been good. Anyway, so they played against Cerezo Osaka at home in Kashiwa. And again, this was also a game where in the beginning, it started off slow because of the rainy conditions. But again, Cerezo Osaka were fortunate to be fouled within the 18 area. And I knew when it happened, when their number 9 striker went down, I knew from then that this is going to potentially be a penalty. There was contact in the 18 area, and rightly so. A PK was given, and that was converted into points. So yeah, congratulations were in order, as I thought. But, you know, Kashiwa, man, scored one of the most brilliant goals I've ever seen, where the guy literally dribbled through the guys and he went into the 18 area. And it was almost sort of like he was waiting for someone to foul him, because it was like, if somebody trips him, it's a penalty. So either way, they were gonna score somehow. But just before he took the shot, he passed it. He just kicked the ball a little bit, and Batista, one of the new players at Kashiwa Reysol, just rocked up and he fired away a hell of a shot. And he scored a brilliant goal. The game was tied at 1-1. And then from then on, it just, you know, became a back and forth type of thing. And it was actually pretty amazing. Like, for rainy conditions, that was a pretty quick game, you know. Because usually when it rains, the teams have to revert to like a slower game plan, you know. And it's not only in rugby. This also happens in soccer as well. So I thought that because it was heavy rains, that both teams would slow the game down a little bit, you know, a bit more high passes, get each other tired, and then the one who's fitter obviously regathers and then scores. But nah, they were playing as if it's dry conditions, you know. But other than that, the game still ended in a 1-1 draw between the two teams. But yeah, as I said, not much exciting football from the J1 League this past week, because of the heavy rains. But yeah, but still a decent product that all teams were able to put out onto the pitch nonetheless, you know. Because yeah, look, the game must go on at the end of the day. So yeah, so that is pretty much the J1 League recap for the week. Those three fixtures. And yeah, man, congratulations to the teams. I mean, all of them were all draws. 0-0, 1-1. No, sorry. One was a victory. Shout out to Tokyo Verdy. But otherwise, two were a draw and one was a victory. So that's pretty decent. That's a pretty decent week of professional football in Japan. All right. So in our last segment, we talk rugby's game of the week. And this week was Panasonic Wild Knights, Damian Dialinda's team, and Luad Deyaha's team. Shout out to them too, two South Africans. And then they went up against Toshiba Brave Lupus. They are Richie Mwanga's team. And man, to just start off, like when the game started at 0-0, so they kicked the ball and Richie Mwanga fielded it at the back. And, you know, when he ran up to the line, I thought he was probably going to just pass the ball or chip over. But that dude accelerated and stepped and just burst through the line when he broke tackles. And that let me know that, okay, we were up for quite a decent game. And then, yeah, just as I said, it went a bit one-sided at some point during the game because, you know, Panasonic Wild Knights were just scoring try upon try and also converting penalties. You know, Toshiba were not doing themselves any favors because they were putting in shoulder charges and so forth. One of their, you know, star outside centers, the Fijian bloke, he got a yellow card. So Panasonic Wild Knights were just capitalizing on that. You got to remember, the Wild Knights are coached by Robbie Deans. You know, for those who don't know, Robbie Deans is one of the most successful coaches in rugby. You know, he's the one who built the Crusaders dynasty for years. You know, so you got to believe that the Panasonic Wild Knights are a very well coached and well drilled team. And they take advantage of the other team's errors. And that's exactly what they did. Every single time that the Brave Lupus would cause a penalty, Panasonic Wild Knights, and they were within kicking range, they would just kick. You know, and obviously having that kind of momentum gave them the freedom to try things out from set pieces. And that's how they were able to score tries. You know, at some point during the game, the score was 29-10, you know, to Panasonic Wild Knights. But credit to the Brave Lupus, man, they fought back in the second half. they literally went from a 29-10 deficit to trailing only by 5 points when there was like 10 minutes left of the game. So they literally went from being, you know, 29-10 down, and at some point the game was 29-25, you know. And then obviously to seal out the game, the Panasonic Wild Knights scored one more try, which then put them at 36 points. So they ended up winning that game 36-24. But it was really highly entertaining, man. A lot of line breaks, a lot of hard tackles, a lot of hard runs. You know, I even got to see Damian Dialinda step and goose step. Well, I mean, he does do all that stuff, but he wasn't actually taking a lot of contact. He was a very balanced player. You know, he did take contact when he needed to, but on most cases, he was using his speed and step to get away from would-be defenders. So, shout out to them. And credit to the Brave Loopers, man. They really showed heart in fighting back. You know, Richard Mwanga played a pivotal role, literally, as a pivot, number 10, and also a pivotal role in just, you know, ushering his men to nearly causing an upset and beating the Panasonic Wild Knights. All right. So that is your Japan Rugby League One Championship or League One competitions game of the week. Panasonic Wild Knights versus Toshiba Brave Loopers. Damian Dialinda's men versus Richie Mwanga's men. All right. And that was really highly entertaining, man. I really enjoyed it. So that is pretty much the rugby segment. All right, guys. And that is all for today, man. Like, I really enjoyed putting up this episode. It's been really fun. All right. But yeah, I've got to go now, man, soon. You know, it's busy times. It's busy times. But thanks for chilling with me. You know, thanks for sticking around. And thank you for those who support the podcast. You know, you can keep supporting the podcast. Check out our merch. You've got Japanese kanji-inspired merch. Make sure to check that out on our Sports Biz podcast merch link or website, and it's at www.sportsbizpodcastmerch.com. All right, check out our merch, and if you see anything you like, yeah, man, cop yourself some merch, support the movement. All right, but anyway, yeah, as I said, I've got to run now. Okay, have a good day. In Japanese, we say otsukare sama desu. Take care, guys, and cheers. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports. We lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.